and saw lots of things. Of course, the main theme of the trip was Luther, and so we went to Luther's birthplace, where he studied, where he went to seminary, where he was in the monastery, and then finally Wittenberg, where he became a professor, and went on to nail the 95 thesis, and we went to Leipzig, where he had the disputations, and we went to, we saw so much Luther. On one hand, it was great, but I think by now we're kind of, those of us on the trip, enough already. But that's not the only thing we saw. We also, especially toward the end of the trip, we went to Berlin. And Berlin, Luther never went to Berlin. And so that had nothing directly to do with Luther's life at that point. But on the way, we stopped in Potsdam, where first we saw a castle, or a palace, Sanssouci, built by King Frederick the Great. And especially after spending so much time on Luther, it was the first palace that we went to. I'm trying to think if it was the only one. No, we went and saw one other one, just briefly went by it. But I was just, who's been to Sanssouci? Anybody? Yeah, oh, Catherine has, of course. It's really beautiful, yeah. It's really beautiful. But my overwhelming experience was, the word ostentatious comes to mind. It was just over the top, opulent, flowery, gold. I mean, it was just like taking as much money as you could, figuring how much of a statement could you make about how wealthy and how much power you had. And it really just jumped out, especially after having spent so much time talking about Luther. And granted, we saw a lot of Luther statues raised in honor of the places where he had been, and lots of things that Luther had written, and saw some wonderful churches that either had been renovated or built in recognition of the difference he made. But they really didn't hold a candle to the opulence in this palace. And we saw some other palaces like that, and saw some castles, and it just struck me that, wow, there really is, when you think about the biggest and greatest things that you can go and see around the world, like the pyramids, even the Brandenburg Gate, these huge monuments, how it seems to always tends to have something to do with the very powerful, right? So Sanssouci was built by King Frederick. And so it was this almost this monument to him and his power and his influence and to his taste. The pyramids, of course, were built by the pharaohs, and these huge monuments that withstood the taste of time. And it's so easy for us to spot these tributes to the kingdoms. I mean, we were in Europe. That's the place where kings and rulers were, and kaisers, and all these kind of folks that had tremendous power, tremendous wealth, tremendous influence, and had the ability to express it. And so then I look at today's gospel. And this seems to be talking about some other kind of kingdom than what I saw palaces to and castles to and monuments to. Because the words that Jesus uses, and again, it's always blessed are, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry and the thirsty, and for the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. When I think of Sanssouci Palace, that's a different conversation. Because that wasn't a palace built to remember the poor and the meek and the hungry and the thirsty. Instead, it honored a different kind of kingdom, a completely different kind of kingdom. And you might say that those castles, those palaces, those huge monuments, they're like a legacy of a worldly kingdom. A kingdom focused on whoever was strongest, the most powerful, had the most money, whoever could force and exert and control their way to have what they wanted done. Whereas Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which has a very different legacy. It's more like the legacy of the tripping stones that we ran across. Have you heard about these tripping stones that are all across Germany and in Europe? I hadn't before the trip. But what they are little copper or brass, just little squares that are set amongst the cobblestones in front of the houses or dwellings where people who were killed in concentration camps or expatriated, people who had died, who are much more like the poor and those who are mourning and the meek and the merciful. Those are much more in line with the legacy that Jesus is talking about, as opposed to the huge monuments and palaces. And today we remember, in essence, I mean, we're remembering folks who have gone before us in the faith. Look at all those candles. People who were models for us of what it means to be a Christian. People who were partners with us, who were guides and mentors. People who loved us and whom we loved. Who showed us in their best times, when they were being their true selves, what life is really about. And when you see, I mean, some of you lit candles, and when you think about that person, you may have thought about what their occupation was. You may have thought about how successful they were. But I know that when I light my candles, I think more about who they were to me. How they made love real. How they showed acceptance to me. How they guided me. How they took an interest in me. How they cared for me and my faith. How they, you might say, were humble, and how they cared about others. People who risk to love risk mourning, because when you love someone, eventually, either you or they are going to die, aren't they? To risk to love, to dare to take, let someone into your heart and to give your heart to someone is a risky business, and it hurts. And some of you I know have risked to do that. And all of a sudden you've been betrayed, you've been lied to, you've risked taking that love and been persecuted, you might say, for it. This is the kind of kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And it is hard to live this way. It is hard to humble yourself, to take on the posture of a servant. It's hard to keep your eye on what others are, to work for the peace and well-being of all. It is hard to risk loving, knowing that eventually it's going to hurt. But Jesus, over and over, says, these are the keys to the kingdom. If you want to truly live, it's not about huge pyramids or huge castles or huge palaces. At least not made of stone and brick and mortar. Instead, about these holy dwelling places that are comprised of all those loving acts, all those relationships that build a strong foundation, both amongst each of us, but especially the strongest foundation of allowing the God of the universe to shower grace and blessings on you, and to give you the strength to forgive, the strength to serve others, the strength to keep going on when it is hard, and even in the face of persecution, to have clarity that it's better to be persecuted than to compromise and give away your life for the sake of a few more days. These are the keys of the kingdom. If you want to leave a legacy, this is the kind of legacy to aim for, the kind of legacy that these people have left to you. Models of faith, of service, of love, of humility, of giving, of generosity. People who worked, did the inner work to make sure that their heart was right. And when your heart is right, then it expresses itself in tangible actions of love. Jesus uses the words, blessed are the pure in heart. And the promise is that you'll see God. If you want a life, full of love, full of grace, work on your heart and love. A few days ago, we were in Berlin. And on the actual All Saints Day, which is November 1st, and we just arrived in Berlin after seeing this palace down in Potsdam and Sanssouci. And I headed toward the ruins of a church in downtown Berlin. In German, it's the Kaiser Wilhelm Gedächtniskirche. Gesundheit, right? But it's like the King William Memorial Church. And it was important to me because my grandfather was baptized there. Yeah. And so I went there that first night, and we were in a hurry. We had to hustle back for dinner and stuff. And so I found it, kind of located it, and kind of glanced in, but quickly had to head back. But then the next day, I had the chance to go and sit and actually spend time looking. There was an exhibit. And basically, most of the church was bombed, or the church was bombed in World War II. And they left most of it in ruins, but built a new church there. But I started looking around and kind of getting in touch with the story of that church. And then Laura, I mentioned Laura that my grandfather was baptized there. And she goes, well, there's a baptismal font there. I go, I don't think so. But as I was looking around through the display cases, there was the original silver baptismal font where my grandfather was baptized. And so they had a little place over in the ruins there where they had these candles set up. And so I went there and lit a candle to remember my grandfather. Of course, he's special to me because he's my grandfather. His occupation was a CPA, a certified public accountant in the United States. And he was just this real straight German, kind of did things the way they were supposed to. Just a little anecdote. I went over to visit him for lunch one day, and it was the time where I was preparing my taxes. So I said, Grandpa, how can I pay less taxes? Because he's a CPA. He should know this stuff, right? You know what his answer was? Make less money. It's like, thanks. But it's so characteristic. He had this real dry wit that my father inherited. But he really was about having things organized in order, doing things right. But the real memories I have of him are two. One is he and my grandmother dancing. They were so cute. My grandpa was a little bit shorter than I was. My grandmother was a little bit higher. But boy, they just dance around the dance floor, and it's just like their shoulders would not move. But they danced and danced and danced until they were into their 80s. And I remember that, kind of how, no matter how their marriage was going, whenever there was a dance at the Zingerin, they'd go and dance. So that faithfulness, that loving relationship they had. And the other thing I remember is that they went to church. Their home congregation there in Austin was St. Martin's Lutheran Evangelical Church. St. Martin's Evangelical Lutheran Church. And if this was the front of the church, it was about five rows back. And there was a gap in the pews went straight back like this, but there was a gap for a post right here. And there was a place where my grandmother could stretch her leg out because she had bad knees. So every Sunday, I don't remember a Sunday that I showed up and wherever I was coming from, I knew that if I headed there, I would find my grandparents. That kind of faithfulness to each other, faithfulness to God, I'm sure was a big part of why my father and my uncle became pastors and why they both had loving, good relationships with God and good relationships with their wives. And when I lit that candle, that's what I remembered. I didn't care how much money he made. I didn't care if there was a monument to him or a palace. what meant something to me was the legacy that he left behind. As we live our lives, as we remember the legacies of these people who put their faith in action, who loved us, who were generous to us, and showed us what it looks like to live, I get inspired to live a life that's worthy of that, to live a life that's full of love, full of joy and peace and patience, lots of forgiveness, but a life in service of others. May we be so lucky to leave a similar legacy to those whose lives are involved with ours. Amen.